Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 6. So let me prepare the screen for us right up here. Praise God. I've entitled this evening's message, We Are the Children of God. We are the children of God. My friends, let me just say this before we get into our Bible study. The day that you and I entered into covenant with God, and that's when we were quickened by the Holy Spirit to come to Him. The Bible is clear that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. So we were drawn to the Son. We were shown our sin because the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. Then Jesus gave us a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. And once we saw the cross, once we saw that we were sinful and sinners, then we embrace the cross and we cry out with a heart of repentance for forgiveness. And once that took place, then God in His grace and mercy washed us in the blood of the Lamb, meaning Jesus' blood covered us and He eradicated the sin from Adam and Eve. That's why we can stand holy before a holy God, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ that was imputed upon us at the cross by faith. And so now we are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. So my friends, now you and I, that moment that took place in your life, now we can stand before God and cry out, Abba Father. At that moment, we became the children of God. We were grafted in. We were adopted. We cried out, Abba Father. Yes, we didn't have to wait for the 1,000-year millennial reign. We didn't have to wait for the rapture of the church. We didn't have to wait till we go into eternity after the 1,000 years. No, the moment we cried out in repentance and God saved us, we became the children of the Most High God. How many are so blessed to know that? Amen. Well, I can't wait to expound these few verses tonight so we can further look into the law of liberty. We can look into 1 John, now beginning chapter 3. And the key component to this, saints of God, is to learn how to obey God, learn how to apply the scriptures. And what do they mean to us today? What it meant to them 2,000 years ago has not changed, because God says, I change not. And so we're the ones that change here on earth. This is why we need to be in Bible study. This is why we need to learn how to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is steadfast, immovable. He is our rock. So He doesn't change. We need to apply His word in our life so that we can grow as His children. So we don't want to stay infants. In the natural sense, a child who comes into this world as an infant, from that moment on, every day it starts to grow. Well, it takes 1 year, maybe a year and a half, to start walking from crawling. And then later on, as progression takes place in one's life, we go through adolescence, through young adulthood, to adults. And then now, I'm a senior. That fast. Life is that quick. And so, my friends, we're children of the Most High God. And so let's look into the law of liberty and let's see what God has for us this evening as we digest, as we dissect, as we expound verses 1 through 6. So I've entitled this evening's message, We Are the Children of God. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. Look at this. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Praise God. Verse 6, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Wow. Wow, saints of God. So we need to expound this. We need to expound this. Let's go to verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? Children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Well, see, saints, John's statement at the end of chapter 2 that believers are God's children caused him to marvel on how very much God loves us, that He would allow us to be called His children. Once again in the background, here's another siren. Wow. So that lets us know it's almost on point every time I get ready to preach the word. I believe there's an urgency because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. This is why the saints of God needs to get right before Him. Can I get an amen? And many need to be saved. And that's why God has saved you and I to cry out for these souls. Praise God. So, let's go back to what I was saying. See, God loves us. How many believe that God loves us? That He would allow you and I to be called His children. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, great as He is, God has brought believers into the loving, intimate relationship of children with their Father. Praise God. Praise God. John, the apostle, was emphasizing the assurance that the believers can have, that they really, really, truly are God's children. How many of you believe that at home? But being God's children separates them from the world. Praise God. Praise God. And the world does not desire to know God and even refuse to recognize Christ as God's Son. Oh, yes. So, my friends, believers can hardly expect the world to understand their special relationship with God as His children. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found here in Scripture. Look at this. In John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, look at this. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is in the Gospels. Look at this in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. Wow. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become what? Children of God. This is where I got our topic. To those who believe in His name. Praise God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Look, here's another verse of Scripture I want you to see. John 15, 18 through 19. Look at this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, Jesus said. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hates you. Wow. Hates you, my friends. Listen. You ever ask yourself, while your loved ones, your friends, your family members, your co-workers, acquaintances, you share the gospel, you invite them to church, you invite them to women's study, men's study, Bible study, prayer meetings, and they won't come. It's simple. They're not children of God. They're only the created beings of God. It's God's creation. Humanity and all the animal worlds and all the plant world and all the insects and everything that's alive that has cells on this planet, God created. But only the ones that He has called and chose are His beloved. Look what I just read, right? Let's go back to that scripture. Look at this. He says, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Did you catch that? This is why they don't get it. This is why even family members will hate you. People will hate you for the cause of Christ. Why? Because God chose you. God chose me. He hasn't chosen them just yet. We don't know when He's going to choose them. That's not for us to figure out. Our job is to sow the seeds and either plant it or water it. But Paul said it best, only God can give them the increase. We pray for them. We hope that they make it in. But they cannot grab on to our coattail, and we cannot take them into heaven with us. God has to do that all by Himself, my friends. Praise God. So, let's move on now to verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be what? Like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Wow. Wow, saints. What a blessing, huh? Saints, not sometime in the future, not when Christ returns, but already believers are children's God. As I elated, as I shared in the opening of this message, yet God's people have a future. As John further explained, that you and I, we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. All I've been preaching and teaching for many years is that we're going to be like Him. He's going to change us from this body of corruption, this flesh that wars against the Spirit of God. God's going to change that. We're going to have a body like His. And we're going to be able to be in His glory without being disintegrated. We'll be able to float away or fly or whatever like He did. Oh, that's right. We're not going to be subject to the law of gravity here on this earth. We're going to have new bodies. And it's going to be wonderful. Saints, Christians have been born into God's family. And they presently, you and I, we enjoy God's kindness and blessings through Christ Jesus. But in the near future, saints, they will also fully share in His glory. How many can't wait to share in His glory? You see, my friends, believers don't yet know the specifics, but they do know that when He comes, all of us, you and I, we will be like Him. And this hints of what this future glory will be like. Christ will be revealed. Praise God. And His people, you and I, will be like Him. For they will see Him as He really is. Praise God. You know, there's a Greek word for see. It involves more than a merely psychological implication or occurrence. It means perceiving, recognizing, even appreciating. In order, saints of God, for you and I, for people in general, to truly know each other, to see each other as you and I really are, we have to share the similar experiences. Praise God. You see, you ever been in a family picnic, a family birthday party, or maybe a gathering at your job, and you know who are the Christians and who are not. But when you come together in a Bible study, in a prayer meeting, or at church, we all have the same koinonia spirit. And we all know we're saved, we're loved by the Beloved. We can speak to each other the way Christ would want us to speak to one another. It'd be a different conversation than someone that's in the world, because they wouldn't comprehend our Christian language on how we relate in the kingdom of God. And so, my friends, not that we are greater or higher or above them, no. It's that God has chosen you. He has chosen me before the foundation of the world. That we would be changed very soon and be like Him. So the deposit in our life is the Holy Spirit. That's what is transforming our mind, our soul. Not the body, just our mind and our soul, our spirit. Praise God. You see, my friends, Jesus, as He really is, Christians, you and I, we must experience the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Praise God. This was Paul's aspiration. It was also John's, as expressed in many verses throughout the scriptures. Praise God. I found one right here. Look at this. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Look at this. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Look at this. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power. Say that with me at home. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Being conformed to His death. If by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Look at this. Verse 12 through 14. Look at this. Not that I have already attained. No one has, saints. Or am already perfected. No one is perfect. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that which is Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Wow. He has a grip of us, saints. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press, say that with me at home, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Come on, someone's got to give a shout of praise. Why? Because this is what God is doing on earth with us. We're being transformed. We're learning the power of the resurrection. People that don't know Christ see this in you. See this in me, that we were raised spiritually dead to spiritual life. And now we have a heart to praise. We have a tongue to praise. We have a mind to praise. We have our being now on this earth, in this fleshly body, to lift up our hands and to praise Him and to glorify Him and to magnify Him. Hallelujah. If you're not excited about that, something's missing in your life. Oh, yes. But if you're excited, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Because He has done the miraculous in our hearts by faith. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on. I'm getting happy right now. Let's move on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he's what? As he is pure. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, because Jesus Christ lived without sin, he was pure. Believers will keep themselves pure. Why? Because you have now entered into covenant with him. We have a relationship with him. We love him. And if you love him, you don't want to break his heart. Will we make mistakes? Yes. Do we fall short? Yes. And he knows that. So now he has established us as children of the Most High God. We could call him Abba Father. He even calls us our friends. So now we can enter into the joy of the Lord. And now the scriptures that talk about certain particular things in our life that we are to learn how to refrain from, we will do it because we love Him. We won't do it out of obligation with a finger pointing at us. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, to be pure means to be morally and ethically free from the corruption of sin. Keep your mind on Christ. Keep your things above. Keep your mind and your heart and your soul in this word. Can I get amen? You see, my friends, this is an ongoing cleansing process, beginning at rebirth and continually until the day Jesus comes for you and I. You see, my friends, the more pure His people become, the clearer it will be their view, my view, your view of who the Lord Jesus is, who is pure. He is pure. And through He is pure, praise God. God also purifies Christians, but they must take steps to remain morally fit. It's like this. If you don't watch what you eat, we can become gluttons or we can wreck this temple that God has given us. But if we eat properly, exercise properly, do the things to maintain this flesh, we will keep it in somewhat in a normal fit condition. And that's what we want. But if we neglect it, then we're neglecting what God has given you and I, saints of God. No differently spiritually. If God is saying to do not indulge in the profane, to keep away from the lustful things, to keep away from the things that will crush us in many different ways, forms and fashion, like lust and covetousness and idolatry, and then the lust for sex, all those things. If we learn how to be obedient to God, He will bless us beyond our comprehension. Why? Because He's pure. Now, are we to be perfect? No. But we are to strive. We're to strive for perfection, saints. This is what this message is all about. Is that God has given you and I now, as children of God, an opportunity to stay clean, morally and ethically and physically before Him. Praise God. Praise God. How many so excited about that? Praise God. Look what I found in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself what? Pure. Pure. Don't get entangled with the world. Look what else I found in James 4 and 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Man, God's word is direct to us, saints. Look what else I found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 through 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with what? A pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. I want you to catch something. Look what it says in verse 22. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. What is God saying? There should be no quarrel amongst us, especially in marriages. You know, marriages are under demonic attack right now. And the enemy's coming in like a flood. You know why? Because if he can get in the mixed, in the middle of marriages and have them at each other's throat, and then there's division, and then there's chaos and animosity and anger and all the things of the flesh. Once he has divided that, he has the church. Did you hear what I'm saying, saints? Then he has the church. But if we apply what God has written in the word to love one another with fervent love, the Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins. We are not to hold each other's throat with our hand, But we're to love and to cover. There are some things that I know my wife does that I'm not going to point my finger and I'm not going to yell at her and scream at her the things that I don't like about what maybe she said or did. The love I have for Christ covers her shortcomings from my mind. She might not even think she made a mistake. It's my own mind. It's your own mind. I need you to catch this, because we can make a mountain out of a molehill and allow the enemy to come in and suffer us for no reason. We need to get it right, saints, because Jesus is coming soon. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. This is a teachable moment tonight. Someone needs to hear this. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on now to verse 4 of 1 John chapter 3. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is what? Lawlessness. That's what sin is. Falling short. Missing the mark. You see, saints, after defining purity, John next defines sin, presenting negatively the same truth he just expressed positively in the Word of God. Let's go back and relive a couple of these scriptures. Look what I found in 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. Look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Did you catch that? Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. See, that's the difference maker, is that we know the truth. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're a true child of God, you should be walking in this grace. There should be no conflict in your life. There should be no animosity or unforgiveness or being double-minded or having a thought of cursing someone out or just being angry, not even communicating, not even talking to one another. That is of the devil. And if you're walking that way, you need to repent and get right with God, because God doesn't treat us that way. Even when we do the most hideous sins as a believer, He doesn't throw us away like a dirty rag. He gives us time to repent and to get right. And this is why this message is to the point, is direct to the heart, that if we're walking in sin, we need to get right with God and confess our sin and learn to enjoy the indifferences of our relationships with one another. Why? Because that's what brings God glory. He doesn't want us to be at each other's throats, saints of God. You see, since being born of God demands self-purification, then a life of sin or a continual lack of purity demonstrate that one cannot really be God's child. Wow! Have you thought about that? If you constantly have anger and animosity and vile and no communication and no love and being disrespectful and having that evil thought against a friend, a family member, or even your own spouse, you better ask yourself, am I really a child of God? Because a child of God will know that the enemy's at work, and the child of God will learn how to repent and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. But if there's a constant wall there, you better ask yourself, am I born again? Do I really know God? Because God does not treat us like that. Can I get an amen in the house? I know this might be tough for some people, but it's good for us. If it wasn't pastors that will preach truth, then go somewhere that will tickle your ears. But what you're going to get here is through true Word of God. Unadulterated. You see, my friends, Sin cannot coexist with the new nature derived from the new birth. Sin is opposed to the law of God. Those who keep on sinning are active rebels against God. Wow. Wow. Praise God. You see, there's a difference between committing a sin and continuing to live in sin. Even the most faithful believers, sometimes saints of God, commit sins. But they do not cherish a particular sin and choose to commit it over and over and over and over again. A believer who commits a sin repents, confesses, and finds forgiveness. Those who continue to sin, by contrast, will not repent of what they are doing. Thus, they never confess and never receive forgiveness. Why? Because they live in opposition to God, no matter what religious claims they may make. I don't care if they say, I've been walking with God for 30 years. Yeah? And you got hate for your brother? You got hate for your sister? That is not the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what should be emulating from your life, from my life. 27 years, I've demonstrated that to my own wife. I love her unconditionally. Is she perfect? No. Does she make mistakes? Yes. Do I always put my finger when she makes mistakes? No. Why? Because she may not even know it's a mistake. It's my perception. And so the Bible gives us ammunition for our own self, because we can be self-deceived. And so the Bible is clear that love covers a multitude of sins. So now I don't see her imperfections. I see the love of God. I see the flower that He gave me 27 years ago. So I cherish that. You need to cherish one another. You need to cherish your relationships with people that you have an ought with. Get it right or get left. That's the word for tonight. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on. Let's move on to verse 5 of 1 John chapter 3. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? There is no sin in Yeshua HaMashiach. There's no sin in Jesus. Oh, there's all kinds of religions out there saying, oh, Jesus needed to be born again, that He's just a son of God, He's not God. That's poppycock. That is not the Word of God. Reject that. Because Jesus is 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He is the God-man. If He was not God, He could not have died for our sin. Praise God. Praise God. He could never eradicate it. His blood would be tainted if he had sin. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so because of Christ, hallelujah, our sins were dealt with at the cross. You see, saints, besides the fact that sin is rebellion against God, another reason that Christians should not sin is because Jesus came to take away our sins. In other words, to know of such a sacrifice and then to keep on sinning, it depreciates that sacrifice. And here's those sirens again. I feel an urgency in my spirit. Listen to them behind me right now, around me. God is saying, get it right or get left. Get those things right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, the reason Jesus came to earth was to take away people's sins. And this could only happen because there is no sin in Him. So He could provide a suitable sacrifice. Praise God. Under the Old Testament sacrifice system, Jews offered a lamb without blemish as a sacrifice for sin. Jesus, say that with me at home, Jesus had no sin. Look what it says right here. in John 1:29. The Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, because Jesus lived a perfect life and sacrificed himself for sin, people like you and I can be completely forgiven. Praise God. Only he can bridge the gap between the sinless God and sinful people like you and I. Jesus died on the cross in our place, taking all of our wrongdoing upon himself, saving us from the ultimate consequences of our sin, which is called eternal judgment. Wow. Wow. And because Jesus still lives and still has no sin in him, it follows that he is totally opposed to sin. I need you to catch that, saints of God. It also follows then that those who claim to be his people must be totally opposed to sin. What he calls sin in the Word of God, we need to recognize that it is sin. Oh, that's right. We think it's drinking and drugging and all that. No. It's even anger issues, emotional issues, hatred, unforgiveness, quarrelsome, wrangling, rancor, all these things that involve a relationship, whether it's friends, family members, or marital. It should never be said among us. Why? Because if we have the pure, true love of God, we'll be able to see the love of God in each other and turn from anger and hate. Only the world does that. Only the world does that. We are not of the world. Bible says, be not of the world. Why? Because the world hates the Father. And we love God. I don't know about you, but I love God. And I know most of you do. So learn to love Him. Learn to love one another. Praise God. We're closing in to our last verse in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. And whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Wow. This is our hope now. This is the hope of God. You see, saints, those who continue to live in Christ won't sin. I know that's hard to fathom. You see, the Greek word behind continue to live is the same verb John used in the gospel about the branches continue to live in the vine. I need you to catch this, because if you are truly in Christ, we're in the vine. We abide in him, but more so he abides in us. Let's look at the word right here. Let's prove it. In John 15:1-8, look at this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear what? More fruit. Look at this. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Praise God. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we need Jesus. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. This is the true born again believer, abiding in the vine. Abiding in Christ. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let me pause right there. If God is not in you and you not in him, then you, the way maybe some of you are acting with one another and treating one another, is evident then that the vine is not in you. Because if you're in the vine and the vine's in you, you will emulate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the will of God, and you will make it work with friends, family members, co-workers, and marital relationships. It's all inclusive if you remain in the vine. But if you're not of the vine, then you're going to squabble, you're going to let the flesh have its way, And that's evidence that something is out of order. That maybe, just maybe, what God's word just said, you're not in the vine. Let's move on to verse 6 through 8. Look at this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Wow. Wow. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. Did you, what? Bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I need you to catch verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, which is the word of God, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What shall be done? Forgiveness, mercy, grace. He's not talking about, I want a Mercedes. I'm tired of the VW bug that's in my garage. I'm going to pray and then open the door and then it becomes a Mercedes. No! This is all about the heart, the issues of the heart. It's all about a heart change, my friends. And if you turn this off and you're not catching it, you get huffy and puffy, that's because something's out of order. But if you're receiving this and saying, God, teach me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, forgive me, oh, God. Then the Holy Ghost will bless your life. And the Word of God will sustain you. And Jesus will remain in you as we remain in Him. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, as a branch lives in the vine, it draws its life from the vine. As believers live in Christ, they are free from the power of sin. Living in sin and living in God are mutually exclusive. It's like darkness and light. John was confronting various types of false teachers. Some taught that they were sinless, actually unable to sin. They claimed superiority over everyone else. And these teachings are refuted in God's word. Oh, that's right. Let's go back to some of these verses of scriptures that we once read. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 3, look at this. Verse 8 through 10, look at this. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he has what? Been born of God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Woo! That's it in a nutshell. To this group, John explained that while Christians should indeed be sinless, it was not the kind of sinlessness that the false teachers claimed to have. Experience bears out the fact that sin is still very much in every believer's life. And this is why we need the Word of God. This is why we need preachers that'll preach truth. That you would have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to each and every one of us. Praise God. Yet, my friends, believers can stop living a life of sin through sensitivity to that sin when it occurs. You see, my friends, sincere repentance from sin and acceptance of forgiveness from one who already took the punishment is what's required. Some claim to have special relationship with God despite their sinful conduct. They assume that their behavior did not matter to God. That's wrong. These teachings are refuted in the Word of God. Oh, yes, they are. They're refuted. Look at this. Let's look at 1 John 1, 5, and 7. We read that this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, as I've been alluding to in this message, We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, it cleanses us. There's the key. God made a way of escape. Look what else it says here in 1 John 2, 1-6. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, what, we have an advocate. We have an attorney. We have God Almighty to turn to with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is a propitiation, meaning the substitute for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the world, who God will call to Himself. Now, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Look at this in verse 4 through 6. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, to this second group of false teachers, John explained that sin was indeed very important in God. In fact, to keep sinning proves that they did not live in God totally at all. Not at all. And those who keep on sinning have never known Him or understood who He is. You see, my friends, Christians seek to remain sinless in God's eyes. Praise God, praise God, praise God. By continually confessing sin to God and repenting of it. They do not keep on sinning. Why? Meaning that they do not impose upon God's forgiveness by taking it for granted in order to keep on living as they please. When they repent of sin, they truly desire to remain free of that sin. Praise God, praise God. Saints, I'm going to end this Bible study tonight. I believe I said enough regarding verses 1 through 6 of 1 John chapter 3. Many of us need to be reminded of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Every now and then, we need to go to the doctor to make sure that our ticker, our blood, our bones, our cholesterol is still okay. Well, every now and then, we need a word like this so that we can be spiritually right before God. And if there's issues that are roadblocking your relationship with Him, with each other, then the answer is God's Word, turning back to Him, repenting. But I'm also talking to the ones that maybe never have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I truly believe that Jesus is soon to return. He can return any moment. Are you ready? Have you repented of your sins? Have you cried out to God for forgiveness? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise? Are you heaven bound and a hell to shun? Or are you still an unbeliever that don't know who Jesus is? Well, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity, saints. I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe those who've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Praise God. Praise God. Listen. There's hope in Christ. And I'm going to ask the amazing grace. Those wonderful saints of God that is part of this fellowship, to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would have an opportunity to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would cry out, Abba, Father, that you would become birthed in God's family by faith. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and ask God to come into your life by faith. Say this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. The blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just got saved. Well, listen, down below is our banner. Why don't you log on? Reach out to us. Our phone number, our email's there. And look, we're going to give you a brand new Bible where you can grow in the grace. We want to pray with you. We want to point you to a church that teaches the unadulterated Word of God. How many are so blessed? So blessed to know that God is in the midst of His people. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity as well, as you can look at the screen right here, because we've been here because of you. All of you have blessed Amazing Grace. Praise God. So, here we go. There. There's our QR code. Use your phone. And if you want to send us a blessing, man, as we mentioned down below, donations are deeply appreciated. We're here because of you. And we truly thank you for all the blessings you have sent to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. I hope you got a lot out of this Bible study. We're going to continue next week in 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 7. And so, I want to leave you our benediction so we can be dismissed this evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. My friends, I'm looking forward to seeing you this Sunday at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Benita, California. And then don't forget, we have the healing rooms at 1 p.m. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you once again, hopefully this Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.